If we're lucky, the cool and damp will push the fire season back just a bit, but given the normal spring and summer weather patterns and the lack of rain and snow over this past winter, we're probably in for a long and dangerous wildfire season. Fire departments at all levels are preparing now. Seasonal firefighters are already being hired from Shasta County on south on the California side, and even urban departments are making preparations, including Medford Fire Rescue. Greg Kleinberg is a Medford fire marshal and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Greg, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. It's hard to believe when the weather is as wet and cool as it is at the moment, but, I mean, how soon do we think fire season could start, potentially?
We don't know at this point. We know that the fields out there are dry despite the rain. We've not really had much of a snowpack. And so at the higher elevations, we're expected that those fields will dry out a lot quicker.
When we say they're very dry, I mean, are they already like dry to mid-fire season sorts of levels or anything like that?
Well, we've already had some grass fires, and, you know, unless we have a very damp continuance of these conditions, then we're going to enter summer a lot drier than we would have in previous years.
Well, Medford Fire Rescue, as we pointed out, is both an urban and a rural district, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, how do you have any sort of catalog or inventory of how much open space there is within the Medford District that is considered potentially prone to wildfire?
Well, we have about 2,300 homes, both in the rural district and the city, that are in the wildfire risk areas.
Which is that's a pretty good size number. And generally east of city?
Most, or about half of those are west of the city, the southwest area, the Griffin Creek area and the hillsides over there, and about half are on the east side.
Is there some jurisdictional overlap between rural fire districts and the Oregon Department of Forestry and the areas that it covers?
There are areas where, you know, they bump up against each other, and so the Department of Forestry has ways where they can they have methods to try to reduce the fuel load in their areas, and they don't want a fire crossing over and creating a greater fire from the urban and the rural districts.
And in some ways, the missions of ODF and, for example, Medford Fire Rescue are kind of the obverse of one another, aren't they?
We work together a lot, and the goal is to reduce the fuels out there and reduce the chances that we will have any type of fire create a larger wildfire.
But are the firefighters in Medford Fire Rescue really trained for open land fires, or are they mostly trained for structural work?
They're trained for everything.
Really?
And so if we do get a fire, we'll all be working together. We have mutual aid agreements, and everybody's on board if we get a fire like that.
Was that kind of cross-training always there, or is it a more recent development that that people who are traditionally structural firefighters are also learning about open-area fires?
It's been there for quite a while. We have a lot of – there's certifications for wildland firefighting, and a lot of our guys are certified in that.
I noticed that there are some national numbers out there about wildfire home losses and how many of those might have been prevented. Do you have any of those at your fingertips or just have it on the top of your head?
The experts say that as many as 80% of homes lost to wildfires could have been saved if their owners implemented a few simple fire-safe practices. And over 90% of the losses are attributed to small spot fires or flying embers that initially ignite the home.
And ignite them usually where?
It could be vegetation near the home. It could be through the screening into the attic or underfloor areas. You get a severe wildfire, you pretty much have an ember storm, and you have these embers just raining down and blowing into these openings and accumulating on decks and different things like that.
Greg Kleinberg's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Medford Fire Marshal. You can join us as we talk about the approach of wildfire season and how homeowners can prepare for that. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. And so what are some of the basic preventive measures that that can be done to prevent? I mean, if we're talking about 80% of homes damaged in wildfires potentially could have been saved. What are some of the basic things that people need to keep in mind?
So there's different zones to kind of look at. And as you look at your house, there's things that you can do. First thing is to have a fire-resistant roof. And that doesn't mean a metal roof or a tile roof. It means something with a fire resistance rating, and that could be composition roofing. But the worst thing is to have a wood shake roof, because the embers collect in there, and the fire resistant, if it is fire treated, it breaks down over time, and so that could ignite very easily. Some of the other things are to clean out the rain gutters, any accumulation of leaves or materials on the roof or under the decks or on the decks or any other items that could easily ignite, like a recycled container, or even we've seen fires where there's a broom ignited from the embers and that was the only thing burning, and that's all it takes for your siding to ignite and for the fire to travel up into your attic area.
So there's a real level of vigilance that has to be approached here, because if you leave just one combustible thing in a conspicuous place, that could potentially lead to the house being on fire.
Right. And the goal is, in the first 5 feet around your house, is to make it a flame impingement-free zone. In other words, get rid of anything that could cause a flame to ignite your siding, which will take out your house.
All right. So 5 feet, no vegetation whatsoever up to the house?
No vegetation or... vegetation away from the house, and make sure it's fire-resistant vegetation.
All right, and what are some of the kinds of fire-resistant vegetation, the things that won't necessarily burst into flame when they get heated up?
Oregon State University has a great book on that, and basically it's vegetation that doesn't collect a lot of dead material in it, doesn't have a lot of sap in it, and it would be well-watered vegetation, and they have a great book that shows pictures and describes the different types of vegetation. Obviously, things like juniper bushes and vegetation like that, where you look inside of it and it's just totally full of dead material, has a lot of sap and tar in it, that's easily ignitable and it becomes a torch on the side of your house.
Yikes. All right, so anything that's going to put a lot of debris out there. I mean, would it include things like pampas grass as well? Because it seems like that's about half dead most of the time anyway.
Well, any type of tall grasses that have a lot of dead material in it would not be good next to the house.
You were talking about the wood shake roofs. I know we've been talking about this for just about as long as I've been covering fires, which is getting close to 30 years in this region. Does anybody still install wood shake roofs out in those areas, or are those strongly urged against by insurers and contractors, et cetera?
The building codes actually require you to have a roof with a resistance rating now in those areas. There are still people that I see around town that will replace their roof with a wood shake roof. I would strongly recommend against that. Even if you're down here in the middle of town and a stray firework lands on your roof, I've seen the houses completely burned up because of a firework, a bottle rocket or something like that landed on your roof.
I want to ask about the complexity of wildfire fighting in an urban setting, because I don't remember whether it was 6 years ago or not, that the same day as the Siskiyou fire threatened Southern Oregon University and some homes in Ashland, there was also a fire that affected your department up on Roxanne Peak in Medford, and it was heading for some homes. And I still couldn't figure out, watching from the roof of a building not very far away, how it was that they managed to save those homes. But there must be some great degree of complexity there in trying to make sure that you're taking care of the fire itself and protecting the homes at the same time.
Well, yeah, the firefighters will do everything they can do to protect homes. That fire burned 633 acres in a couple of hours. And it was wind-driven, and we really dodged a bullet because the direction it was heading was kind of away from the homes initially. And so we also had some aircraft already in the air fighting the fire in Ashland that were diverted and really slowed the fire down. Also, there was a house up in the middle of it, and we were up there and not really able to do firefighting efforts. The fire came up to that house. It slowed down. It went around it because the homeowner prepared for fire season, and he reduced the fuels around the house. And it was amazing to see that, you know, the fire lost momentum, went around the house, kept going. And the firefighters did a great job of protecting the houses and the path of the fire, slowing it down so that it didn't do any more damage.
Well, that is amazing. So you've seen this at work then. I mean, you talk about keeping a defensible space around the home, and it really does work, and it certainly did in that case.
That was a great example of the homeowner doing all the right things, and we weren't there yet. Some of these fires can travel so fast that, you know, firefighting efforts aren't in place. And you have to really look at all of these items and prepare your property to survive even if the firefighting efforts aren't in place yet. That's
all right, so
goal.
We've talked about the 5-foot perimeter around the home, but there's also another zone between 5 and 30 feet. And what should happen in that zone?
So there's another zone, and the real goal there is to eliminate any chance of home ignition by radiant heat. And so, you know, keep weeds and grasses cut to a maximum of 2 inches high. Just, you know, any dried weeds like that, make sure that you take care of that. Fire travels really fast through dried weeds. It's just like fire traveling up a hill or a wind-driven fire. It really speeds it up. You know, maintain green landscaping by keeping it well watered, and eliminate the ladder fuels under trees. The ladder fuels are fuels which will take the fire from ground level, and basically it'll travel up the ladder fuels and into the tree crowns. And once the tree crowns are on fire, that increases the radiant heat a lot.
You know, we've talked about ladder fuels a couple times. What specifically are those things? When we see them, what are they?
That's going to be bushes and things like that below the tree crowns. It's recommended that you prune the limbs and branches of trees to a minimum height of 15 feet or a third of the tree height for shorter trees. And you don't want flammable bushes under those trees to where the bush catches on fire and suddenly the tree crown catches on fire because you have this fire feeding heat to the other fire.
All right, and so Greg Kleinberg, is the Medford Fire District, Medford Fire Rescue, traveling around reminding people of some of the things they should keep in mind as fire season approaches?
Yes, we are, and we do have a free home evaluation program where we will come out. It's voluntary. We will come out if somebody gives us a call and evaluate their property and give them suggestions about how they could make their property safer.
All right, so they can call you for advice then, it sounds like.
Yes, and we'll actually physically come out there and go around their house and give them suggestions about how they can improve their defensible space and reduce their home ignition hazards.
It seems like as long as we've been talking about this, most of the homeowners out in the rural areas are pretty up to speed on what is required or what is needed.
I think they are. I think there's a lot of people that really take care of their properties, and that's a very good thing. There's always things, you know, just be observant, look around, and think about an ember storm impacting your property and what types of things, what types of plants and other items could be close to your house.
Yeah, look around
and
see
ignite your house.
Yeah, what could potentially ignite. All right. Much to think about and a lot to prepare for as well. We don't know how long fire season is off, but let's hope it's a while away. Greg Kleinberg, Medford Fire Marshal, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.